Good morning. Welcome to the study of the Word of God with Spring Valley Bible Church. I'm Phil McMillan. I'll be your pastor this morning. The first thing we need to do is prepare for the worship of God in prayer. Nothing we can say or do is worthwhile to God. It has to be done in His power. So search your souls. Lay aside your guilt, self-obsession, and problems, and ask the Father for the eyes and ears of God the Holy Spirit, that all we say and do may edify this local body and glorify our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege to come together in the worship of You and Your Son and the study of Your Word through Your power of Your Spirit. Heavenly Father, we just are odd to think that the omnipotent, omniscient, most high God of all has bothered to give us everything we need to have a relationship with Him. Heavenly Father, we just pray that as we open Your Word and study this morning, that all we say and do might glorify our Lord and Savior, for He's deserving of all honor and praise. In His name that we pray, sir. Amen. Let's start with the song this morning, Brian.
All right, you all join me in singing number 450. Song 450 is an anthem called "I'm Not Ashamed to Own My Lord." Song 450.
Familiar tune, but very inspiring. Different words in that tune. Yeah, lovely. Well, let's see. Prayer requests and announcements. Of course, be in continuous prayer for Herman and Judith. Herman continues his recovery, and yes, sir.
Be in prayer for Judith. She's going to have to go to the hospital tomorrow. Doctor tomorrow. She's not doing good. It's one problem. So
yeah. Keep Judith, especially in your prayers. We've been praying so hard for Herman's health, we forgot to mention hers. Your turn to take care of somebody now, huh? Okay. Well, certainly prayers for Judith and her health situation. Let's see. Liberty Youth Ministries, we had our planning session last night, and that went well. We're off to a good start for a productive year in service of the Lord and teaching these young people to build their young lives on their faith. And didn't nail a whole lot of things down, but we had some great ideas, and I think everything's shaping up for the year ahead. Please keep our young people locally in high school, but those who've gone out into the college world. We're looking into ways that we can help support them in their faith out there in different colleges all over. We're looking into ways that we can continue to serve local high school people in these crazy times where we're restricted in how we can meet and things like that. We need God's guidance and grace provision that we can continue to put the word out for these young people. And we're learning from this, I think. We're learning something important from this. And that's that it's not all on us to get them in one place and teach them. We're teaching them to teach others. We're learning discipleship in the youth ministry through this experience that we've been going through in the last year. And that's a magnificent thing. That's true fulfillment of the Great Commission, is to make disciples of all the nations and all those that we come in contact with. So I think that we're in a good place as far as that goes, but we would love to do things the same way every time and put it in our comfort zone and get those things done and roll right along. You know, God's using the circumstances to make us grow and make us to approach this differently. And God the Holy Spirit is doing a fantastic job there. Please keep the youth ministry and the Wise and Dague households in your prayers. Praise report in our acknowledgments this morning. Chris went out and bagged himself a deer last week during the weekend. And yea, verily, the Lord did deliver a young buck into his hand. Okay. I'll keep Julie and Brian in your prayers, please. They have been running back and forth to Oklahoma, to Tulsa, to take care of his mother and her mother and your uncle, Brian's uncle, and it's not an easy thing to run back and forth on a four hour trip twice a week, and God has faithfully kept them safe on those many trips, and we're going to keep that in our prayers, and as well as your respective mothers and your uncle and all the concerned here. Let's see. Ray and Eric Ward and family. Eric's looking for a job. Their son Clay's been having some health problems, and he's off at school too. Where does he go to school? He goes to Hillsdale. And that came up in our prayer list yesterday in our planning session. Hillsdale College is just a magnificent school. Everything that I've seen about them is just superlative education. They don't just indoctrinate people. They teach people to think. And they teach people about our Constitution. There are free courses about our Constitution that you can take if you go to hillsdalecollege.org or .com. No organization, especially a school in this day and time, is going to put out a grace message or a message that honors our country and the traditions that we're built upon without coming under fire. And they are definitely coming under fire. Some of it is because of the COVID restrictions or under the umbrella of the COVID restrictions. This is just like the modern persecution of the American church. They're saying, oh, it's COVID safety, but it's not. It's just shut those churches down. And when you have in some states, you're allowed to have a concert or you're allowed to open bars and restaurants, but they're still keeping the church closed down. Yeah. You know they aren't worried about COVID. They're worried about the worship of God and the spread of the gospel in America. And we've got to keep the church, our fellow churches, Southwood Bible Church, Tucson Bible Church, Atlanta Bible Church, all these churches that are on our prayer list, please lift them up from time to time. Pray for those pastors and the work of the Spirit in those local assemblies that they can be used to spread the word and glorify our Lord. That's what's needed in our nation, right? Let's see. Please keep Kit and Chris and I in your prayers for our teaching. Kit's doing an awesome series on Judges in the Wednesday night class. His scholarship and theologically is fantastic, And he's done such, personally, he's done such a great job of bringing that information from Judges home to a church-age believer, and how it corresponds, the way God treated the children of Israel and how they responded to him. That's the picture of our lives as believers in the church age. God still has a plan and promises to us individually, and the fulfillment of those are often seen in our faithfulness. And just as the children of Israel strayed in their faithfulness, and it caused lots of problems and hardships along the way in their history. You know, we love to read the Old Testament and say, gosh, those Jewish people are crazy. God told them and they didn't do it. Then we'll turn right around in our own life personally, and God will be telling us to do something and we won't do it. And we're not any smarter or any more responding to God than the Jews in the Old Testament. But, you know, it's always easy to be judgmental in hindsight. But even this morning, and as we were almost finished Timothy this morning, 1 Timothy this morning. But even there we saw a corresponding verse in Joshua where they talked about God has left these people in the promised land. He didn't allow them to drive them out because they were there to be a trap and a temptation to them. They have places where their faith could go other than God right there amongst them all the time, just as we do. It's easy to lay aside our faith in God's work and try to do the work ourselves. It's easy to set our desires on things of this world instead of things of God's realm and God's creation. And those are the things that count eternally. So anyway, I'm not supposed to preach during the prayer request. Amen. Please keep Dan Hill in mind. He's going back to Africa. He's going to have a trip to Ghana in November planned, and they're working out the logistics of that even now. Sign-up sheet for November and December is empty, and we need volunteers to clean and bring donuts. And, everybody in the room right now is exempt from this list. We've got to be somebody from the internet need to start coming to church and clean it and bring the donuts, okay? Let's see. So, you know who you are out there. Get in here. Bring us some donuts. Most of all,
Not today.
Not today. We got too many donuts today. That's what happens when you don't have a sign-up list. Five people bring donuts. We're going to feed a homeless shelter after class today. Well, most of all, let's pray for our country. Remember, there's no political solution. The only solution lays in the work of God through the Holy Spirit. And there's no Holy Spirit without the gospel of Christ. And there's so many have rejected the gospel of Christ. And, I'm sorry, Mom. Did I forget something? Yes, ma'am?
Speaking of the gospel, I don't know if we've been in prayer for the Risley family, but no one...
Oh, that's... That's what you were mouthing at me. Okay. Speak up. Yes, it's my sad duty to report to you that Pat Riesley did pass away this week.
Oh.
Yeah. And
she wanted to be born, buried in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
She did not want to come home to get better. She wanted to stay there and be buried there. And John and I were talking. They've led so many people. They're going to get so many rewards in the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be unbelievable. Yeah. And John said, yeah, and there's going to be a lot of tacos up there. she's happy and she's where she wants to be.
Absolutely. Yes. We mourn in their loss and we rejoice in her promotion. It's been a tough couple of years for her as her body gave out and she just kept on teaching. She didn't just go back there and hang out. She kept on putting lessons together and helping those people read and understand the Word of God. And her life is a magnificent testimony. And please be in prayer for comfort for the family, the Riesley family in Mexico. So with all these things in mind, let's... don't forget giving.
Tish.
Speaking of giving, Tish is in need of your prayers. She has got a big problem with her shoulder and is going to need some reconstruction surgery on her shoulder. Well, that presents another problem because she has problems with her liver and her heart, right? So she's
kidneys
in her heart, yeah. And so she needs prayer for guidance in the decision she's going to make and how they're going to handle the shoulder and relieve her of that pain so she can concentrate on getting well in other parts of her body. Just lift up, if you can't remember all the medical stuff, just remember to lift up Tish and her health. And she's been a blessing to so many of us and a blessing to this church through the years. And we want to see God reverse a dire diagnosis from her doctor once again. She's confounded those doctors at least three times, and so we wanted to go for four. Yes, sir.
We voted yesterday. It took us about 10 minutes.
Whole 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a big challenge.
Yeah, it's not a big challenge to go and vote in person.
They're open 7 days a week.
7 days a week? I thought it was just weekdays. Yeah, they're open from 7 to 7, 7 days a week. Yeah.
That's why we got there in 10 minutes.
Ah, cool, cool. So you can, it's early voting season, and vote with your prayers more than with your ballot, though. Okay, and giving, I'm sure we're giving our Facebook secretaries posting right now the address, the physical address, which is on our website also at www.springvalleybiblechurch.org. And you can click on the contribution button there and make a contribution, a donation through PayPal, or you can mail in a check, or you can stop by with the sack of gold. Okay. We have the plates in the back. Okay. All right. Well, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we have such a long prayer list for such a small body. Lord, we just lift up Ray and Eric and their kids and Clay as he overcomes health problems and their Eric's job search. They've been a faithful part of our youth ministry, and we just pray that you would bless and watch over them. We pray for Tish's health. We pray, Heavenly Father, for all of our young people out there, for their ability to stay in their faith and to spread the gospel of Christ and the power that their faith gives them. Heavenly Father, we pray for Cindy Edwards' daughter-in-law, Denise, and ask that you would continue to work to heal her. And we pray for our country, Heavenly Father, that we might have continue to have the freedom to assemble together, to study your word, and to fellowship together, and to glorify your Son, for it's in His name that we pray, sir. Amen. Yeah, I forgot to mention Cindy Edwards' daughter-in-law, Denise, who was hit in a hit-and-run accident last week. She had surgery, finally, after about a week, waiting for things to get stable on Friday, and the surgery went way better than they even expected it to go. And they also had to repair her shoulder. She had, and the doctors were amazed that she is not fully paralyzed. They were able to basically reconnect her spine. If the doctor said if they had moved her at all in that vehicle, it would have killed her because there was no bone holding her spinal cord together in one spot. And so they were able to rebuild her spine and stabilize that. And she's recuperating still in the hospital. She's not going to be paralyzed. She's going to lose a lot of mobility, you know, able to rotate her body. But they expect her to have a near full recovery. And that's all the answer to your prayers for her during this week, they said. And they appreciate them and ask you to continue to keep Denise in your prayers.
How
in her healing.
Wreck?
From what I understand, it was a hit and run.
T-boned.
She was, she got T-boned?
Yeah.
Somebody hit her in on the driver's side and then ran away, drove away? Wow.
Well, he got out and ran, but they got him.
Ah, they got him. Good. Yeah. So she was in a hit, auto accident. Yeah. All right. Okay. So, let's start with this, my verse to you. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the mystery of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith may not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. This morning, we're going to continue our look at the Trinity and you. Okay? It's been my prayer that this short study, last week and this week, will strengthen your understanding of the triune God we serve, but also deepen your godly relationship. I want you to understand that we do not just acknowledge that God is three, but we acknowledge that all three members of the Godhead are active and involved in our lives every day. Okay? We won't get off the note here. The Father is the object of mankind's inquiry into the existence of God. He is the great mover of Aristotle, the source of all righteousness to Locke, who reasoned that all notions of justice must come from the divine. He's the divine authority that holds all things together. We looked at the hypostatic union of the two natures of Christ, divine and human. Jesus is God in flesh, and we noted the verses John 10:30-33, John 20:28, Philippians 2:5-8, Hebrews 1:8. In Colossians 2:9, it's explicitly said He is fully God and fully man. And we looked at last week. We looked at John 8:58-59, where Christ declared Himself to be God. So, God the Father, His existence is apparent to all those who seek God, right? And the Son is in perfect union with Him, as is taught in His Word. In the Word of God over and over again. The Holy Spirit, in the Greek, agion pneumatos, in the nominative, it's not just a title attached to someone else. When we use a word in the nominative, right, it's the subject case. It's the real thing in that sentence. And we can't say that, well, that phrase just only occurs in the genitive, or it's always attached to something other than a thing that is. It's added to a thing that is. Well, it's this grammatical use of putting the title Holy Spirit in the nominative case that tells us that God the Holy Spirit is a literal, concrete, or spiritual being separate from God the Father and God the Son. So, God the Holy Spirit is a distinct, separate member of the Godhead who was sent by the Father at the request of the Son to be our paraclete. We noted that this Greek word is often translated helper, which can seem troublesome, right? In our salvation, we do not want Christ to help us get God's righteousness. We want Him to give us God's righteousness, because there's no way that we can ever earn God's righteousness, right? We can't earn it, and not all the help in the world is going to help us earn that righteousness. And that's apparent for us now that we're believers. Right? A lot of unbelievers have a hard time grasping that their relative righteousness isn't good enough for God, right? But for us who have the eyes to see, we know that God's righteousness is above us and unattainable for us, and that God has to do all the work if we're supposed to get that righteousness, right? Sanctification is the same. We know that sanctification is the process of setting ourselves apart from this world and concentrating on the heavenly world, right? And we looked at this concept from the word godliness in our Timothy study this morning, that we want our eyes set on our citizenship in heaven, not on this world. Piety or godliness comes from our reverence for God and our desire to be joined to God in everything that we do in our lives. Okay? And so this sanctification process, it's the same. We want the Spirit to do for us what we cannot do. We can't do it ourselves. We can't be holy enough in our actions, even as believers, to please God and to glorify God. So we want the Spirit to do for us what we cannot do. Another word used to translate paraclete is counselor or advocate. And this fits much better, as we noted last week. Right? When a defendant is brought into the court, he just sits there, right? The lawyer does all the talking. And this is the Spirit's work in our lives, right? He works for us. He speaks through us. He perfects us as we learn to shut up and rely on Him for everything that we do. Okay? We have faith and nothing more. Faith always has a result. Okay? Always has a result. We see it in our salvation. We believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that had a great result. It gave us eternal life. It gave us the righteousness of God. It gave us the basis of a relationship with the Godhead. It resulted, our faith resulted in something. We didn't do anything but believe it, but man, did we benefit from it, right? And it glorified God when it did benefit us. This is the pattern for our life and the Spirit. We're gonna have our faith, simple faith, in the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to produce godliness, to produce the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. And it's that result that makes us do things, right? Just as a result of our faith in salvation was the imputation of righteousness, and made us believer, or our belief in Christ made us in a relationship with God eternally. It did something. When we put our faith in God, the Holy Spirit, it's going to do something. And the something that is done happens through us. God, the Holy Spirit, speaks through us. God, the Holy Spirit, guides us to glorify Christ in our lives. And it's all the work of God, the Holy Spirit. And we were joking this morning about that age-old conundrum. I'm not going to do anything but faith, and I'm going to sit on this park bench, right? Sooner or later, God, your faith is going to have a result. Okay, you're going to have to act upon what God is telling you comes next because of your faith. And we want that action to be that which pleases God as we rely on Him. That produces sanctification in our lives. Again, just as our righteousness was received 100% through the work of Christ, our sanctification, our godliness comes 100% through the production of God the Holy Spirit. Okay, so let's carry on with our look at the Trinity. I want to go through some more verses with you this morning and show you just how much you're given in the whole Trinity. You have so much in your relationship with God the Three, not just with one person of the Godhead. All of God is desiring relationship and interaction with you. So there's more depth of love and relationship than most of us realize on a day-to-day basis. We're going to look at some more passages where all three members of the... We started looking at some passages where all three members of the Godhead showed up at one time. And last week we concentrated on the baptism of Christ. This is one of the few events in the life of Christ that's recorded in all four of the Gospels. We see the baptism of Christ in Matthew 3:16, in Mark 1:9-13, we see it in Luke 3:22, and we spent some time in the testimony of John the Baptizer, as recorded in John 1:19-34. Right? I call him John the Baptizer because I don't want everybody to think he's Baptist. Okay? Let's see. So, John the Baptizer gave his testimony. And all three members of the Godhead were present and accounted for there. The Son as He was being baptized, the Spirit as He descended and remained with Christ, and the Father we saw was present as the voice that told John, you're going to know the Messiah, you're going to know the Son of God when you see my Spirit descend on him and stay there. So even in John's account through John the Baptist, we see all three members of the Godhead showed up for the baptism of Christ. We also noted that last week that Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission, mentions all three of the Godhead. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And notice that as we make disciples of the nation, we're identifying them not with just Jesus. Our commission is not go save them in Jesus' name, right? Our commission is not just go and teach them about God, the Holy Spirit. It's all of the above. It's baptize them, identify. That's what the word baptize means, to identify one thing with another. Identify these people with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Not just one member of the Godhead or the work thereof, but all three of them are present in the Great Commission. Christ made sure that we know the Godhead walks with us. Twice in the Gospel of John, he tells us this, right? John 14:26. But the Helper, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus' name, there's all three, right? He will teach you all things and bring your remembrances to your remembrance all that I said to you. Likewise, in John 15:26, when the Helper comes, whom I, this is Jesus speaking, will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. Okay? So it's all three members of the Godhead involved in our lives. This is what Christ is telling us. Tell the disciples explicitly two times in the book of John that all three members of the Godhead, the Father through the Son, gave us the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's there to glorify Christ and to benefit us, right? So this morning I want to run through about 11 verses that show how the Trinity is active in your life. I'll give you the references, but most of these are just single verses, and I'm going to read them. So if you want to try and turn, I may be going faster than that. If you just want to write it down and listen to it, if I'm going to dwell there, I think I'll warn you so you can turn to it if you want to. Okay? Let's see. So we're going to start with Acts 14:26. I'm looking for a different reference now. Okay. So, Acts 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will... did I read that one? Yeah.
No.
John
14:26.
Ah. Sorry. Forgot to flip the page over. Went to the next one. Yeah, those are the two Christ gave us. First one is Acts 2:33. Acts 2:33 says, "Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He, Jesus, has poured forth this which you both see and hear." And this is the this is in a testimony given to present Christ in Acts 2:33, and he's talking about the resurrection of Christ and how all three members of the other two members of the Godhead were present in the resurrection of Christ. And the resurrection of Christ is not just for Christmas, guys. Or for Easter, or the festival of the resurrection. The resurrection is the proof positive that God the Father, who raised Christ through God the Holy Spirit, approved of the work that Christ did on our behalf. And as such, it's one of those points of contact of all three members of the Godhead. And two, it's something that should encourage you each and every day, not just one day, one weekend a year, okay? And So it's not just for Easter anymore, guys. Having been exalted to the right hand of the Father. And we can see both see and hear these things because of the work of Christ and the power of His Spirit. Also in Acts 10:38, again, another powerful testimony, witness of Christ in among the apostles in the book of Acts. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. God the Father anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. And how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Again, this is...
What's the second one again?
Acts 10:38.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem. Acts 10:38. And again, we see, again, it's the entire Godhead live and present in your life. And just as he through Christ, he went about doing good, healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You can do this. You got this. You got the power of God, the Holy Spirit. How do you do good? You produce the fruits of the Holy Spirit in your life. These are the good things. This is godliness in your life. How do you heal those oppressed by the devil? You give them the gospel. You deliver them from the world of death into the world of life, right? This is the job that Christ did. This is the job you've got. And you've got the power through God the Holy Spirit to do it. Next verse is Romans 1:4. Who was declared the Son of God, that's the Son and the Father, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, there again is the resurrection as the seal of approval on the work of Christ, declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness. That's sanctification. Holiness is hagios. That's talking about our sanctification. The Spirit that brings about our sanctification, and Jesus Christ, our Lord. Okay? So, again, the Father, the Spirit, and the Son, alive and powerful in you. Galatians 4:6. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We have a relationship with the Lord God Most High, the Father of the Trinity, through Christ's work in the power of God the Holy Spirit. And this is such a rich and binding personal relationship that we say, Daddy. Okay? We have an informal address to the Most High Lord God of all creation. We call Him Father. We say Daddy to Him. And that's phenomenal to think that the object of all reverence in the world is ours to have an informal relationship with. That we could call Him Daddy, right? Because we're not just serving Him out of works in fear that our works will be insufficient and we will be punished. We have a relationship with Him. We're His children, and He holds us in His hand. And if you have forgotten everything that you've learned about the Bible, if you are in such a state of depression or sadness in your life, believers, remember that you are a child of the Most High God. You have been redeemed, and you are beloved because of your relationship in Christ. If you can't think of anything else to say, to pray to God, thank Him that you are a child of the Most High God, beloved and redeemed. Write that sentence down and remember it on your worst day, and it'll keep you tuned in to your relationship with God and all that He has in store with you, for you. So, crying out, Abba, Father. Our next verse is Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. We see plainly God and Jesus Christ may give you spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Well, your translation may or may not have spirit capitalized there. But that's because it's followed by that genitive of wisdom and of revelation. So they assume that it's talking about our human spirit. But it can't be talking about our human spirit, because our human spirit has no wisdom and no revelation apart from the work of God the Holy Spirit. He's the one that gives us wisdom and revelation, right? So really, even though it looks like they've skipped over God the Spirit in this, He's the thing that provides the spirit of wisdom and revelation. If not, this is a reference to God the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Okay? That was Ephesians 1:17. The next one is in Ephesians 2:18. For through Him we have both our access in one Spirit to the Father, through Christ. Right? Through Christ we have both two things, our access in one Spirit. We have the power of God the Holy Spirit. The beautiful thing here is that it's all one Spirit. It's not we're our individual spirits. It's one Spirit. So it provides us unity in our effort, in what God wants to do in our lives. We saw this last night in our planning meeting. We said, we got some ideas about what we want to do for summer camp or themes for camp, and they threw out one. They said unashamed, and one guy on the I think it was Tyrus on the phone. He said, "Yeah, I've been working on some notes about not being ashamed of the gospel." And on the other phone, Dalton says, "I couldn't hear that. Did you say unashamed? I've been doing a series on unashamed." Okay. Holy smokes! That's unity of the Spirit right there. We said, "What about this?" "Oh yeah, I said that." "Yeah, me too." Okay. We couldn't have planned that in a million years. And we see that kind of work of God the Holy Spirit in the youth group as we put camps and themes and things together. God uses each and every one of us individually, like we had been on the phone with each other talking about it at times. It's a phenomenal thing, and it's all due to God the Holy Spirit's work, one Spirit working in all of us, and it brings about a unified result. Okay? And we have... through Jesus we have both our access in one Spirit to the Father. And Ephesians 2:22, it was tough for me to not go into an Ephesians study here, just from these three verses. But I'm going to do it on Romans, so don't worry. We'll expand later. But in whom Jesus, Ephesians 2:22, in whom Jesus, you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. This is that, again, that unifying work of God the Holy Spirit. We're all in the one Spirit. And this was provided for us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And He did it for the purpose of building us up together to represent God here on earth. The church is not a building. The church is the body of believers united in God the Holy Spirit to do God's work. He's got something for His church to do, and it has nothing to do with the building. Thank goodness, because we don't have much of one. Huh? But we got a lot of God the Holy Spirit working here. Let's see. So you're being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Titus 3:6. We ought to hit that one day. That's next on my list after 2 Timothy. We're going to Titus. Let's see. Titus 3:6. Whom God the Holy Spirit, is the context here, whom the Spirit He poured, whom He, talking about God the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Yeah, God the Father poured out God the Holy Spirit richly upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. Corrected translation. You, it would read better if I said it in context, but I had to paraphrase it there for you to get all three members of the Godhead in that verse. He, God the Father, poured out God the Holy Spirit upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. All right. Hebrews 9:14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Here we have a picture of the eternal Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is the means that the humanity of Christ existed and did the work that God set before him. So how much more will the blood of Christ through the eternal Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, offered himself without blemish to God. It was to the God the Father that he brought our salvation or delivered our salvation. And cleanse your conscience from dead works. Remember, because your conscience indicts you on your sin each and every day. And that's one of the things that brings us to the point of acceptance of the gospel is the fact that we realize through the revelation of God the Holy Spirit, we're convicted of our dead works before God. And the work of Christ, here called the blood of Christ sprinkling us, it's talking about the picture of the Old Testament sacrifices, where they demonstrated the sacrificial of death of Christ on the cross through an animal sacrifice. They are not saying we are literally to be sprinkled with the blood of Christ or with the blood of any animal sacrifice. It was the death of Christ that we're seeing here symbolically on the cross that has cleaned away all of the sin that we produce and given us the opportunity to serve the living God. Right? Let's see. 1 Peter 1:2, we see, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, plan of the Father, by the sanctifying work of His Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, there's the plan of God, those whom He foreknew, He predestined, etc., etc. We're about to see close to that passage. But God knew who it was going to believe. And by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, He gave those people the ability to see the gospel. Okay, and they were able to obey Jesus Christ and believe in Him. Believe in His sanctifying, His work of righteousness, His work of justification, and obey Christ and be sprinkled with His blood. Again, it's that Old Testament picture coming to us to show us the depth of Christ's work on our behalf to clean us of our sins. And because we have been drawn to Christ through the work of God the Holy Spirit, according to the plan of the Father, that grace and peace can be ours in the fullest measure. Okay, all of this fullest measure of grace and peace, it's all three members of the Godhead coming into play to bring those things about in our lives. So, Romans 8:9 is our last verse, but I want to take a look at this chapter with you. The verse itself says, however, you are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to God the Father, him. Okay? So let's look over at Romans chapter 8 for a moment. Let's see. So our verse was in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But and when I look for these verses, I pretty much did a key search for verses that had all three members of the Godhead mentioned in them. And in some cases, I had seen them before and looked at, studied them or seen them, because some of those, it doesn't say explicitly Father, Son, and Spirit. It says He to Him of whom. And you kind of got to look for the title of God in those pronouns at times. But most of them, all three members of the Godhead, are explicitly stated there. But we're going to start with our target verse here, Romans chapter 8, verse 9. And we're going to get a read through here. And as we look at the a lot of this chapter, at least 20 verses of this chapter, we're going to see how God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, God the Father are alive and powerful in our lives each and every day, accessible to us and working for us and through us. Okay? So, pick it up at Romans 8, 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to the Father, right? And in this case, Spirit of Christ is talking about God the Holy Spirit. You don't have God the Holy Spirit living into you, in you, until you have become, put your faith in Christ. One of the things you receive at salvation is the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, right? So if you don't have God the Holy Spirit, you don't have Christ. You're not a believer yet. So, however, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit, if you do believe, you're no longer in this flesh. You're in the spiritual realm. Okay? Let's see. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, he does not have the Spirit of Christ, does not belong to him. Verse 10, and if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Okay? The Spirit is there, he's alive, and the reason is because we've received the righteousness of God through our faith in Christ, right? When we believe in Christ, we receive God's righteousness. We are now perfect enough to stand before the presence of the Most High God, whose perfect righteousness never failed and has to have a relationship with righteousness, never can have a relationship with unrighteousness. So we had to have that established in us to have that relationship with God. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Him. If Christ is in you, even though your body is dead because of sin, your spirit, the Spirit, is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, God the Holy Spirit is the agent of resurrection in Christ, if God the Holy Spirit is dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells in you. Separation of this world of death and darkness and the world of life and light that God has for us in the power of His Spirit. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. That isn't where our obligation lies. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. You're gonna die. Period, over and out. You're dead now in this world, walking, and gonna be dead in the eternal life from separation with God. But if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit, you're living by the Spirit, you're putting to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. You're going to overcome the flesh and the sin production that it can only produce, and produce and live in the power of God, the Holy Spirit's production. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Again, our relationship as children of God because of Christ's work and the power of the Spirit. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. That's the second verse, the second time we see that. We call the Most High God Daddy because of our relationship that we have through Christ. And also, please note, we have not received the spirit of slavery and fear, or leading to fear again. If you're a slave, you've got to make sure you do everything the master said, or you're going to get in big trouble, like cat of nine tails kind of trouble, all right? And you fear that discipline. You're going to make sure that his tea is exactly 93.6 degrees the way he likes it, because you don't want that discipline to come down on you. That's the relationship in fear of a slave and a master. We aren't slaves. We're children. We're sons of God. And this was really spoke to Romans, because Romans had slavery in their society, and they also had a system of adoption. There were even cases where a master saw such worthiness and potential in a young slave that he adopted the slave and made it his son. Okay? I don't know how commonly, but there are recorded instances of that happening in the Roman world. That a freedman can be adopted as an adult into the family of someone because they needed an heir and they thought that person was worthy. So this is really translating or communicating well to a Roman audience. This, you aren't don't have a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you received a spirit of adoption. You're now calling them daddy instead of master. Okay? The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now that we are believers, we have this human spirit, and that's the part of our being that understands the godly things of this world. And so the Spirit Himself, God the Holy Spirit, is confirming to our spiritual apparatus of understanding, right, that we are indeed children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the anxious longings of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. When we are revealed and glorified because of the work of Christ and the work of God the Holy Spirit, it's going to show the whole world that God was correct in this plan, that God is able to redeem that which is irredeemable. He's able to make righteous that which was unrighteous. And all of that is going to be revealed in certainty when we are revealed as the sons of God, the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And again, well, here we see that understanding that the creation of God, the planet Earth, it suffers because of our sin. There wasn't a thorn or a thistle in the entire world in the Garden of Eden, right? And it was not until the fall of man that the earth started yielding briars and thistles and bad things, and that predators came about, and we became one of them, and all the flood, the judgment upon the earth because of the actions of man, all of the relationship volitional decisions that we make to separate ourselves from God, the earth pays for it. And now you could say, well, the weather's really changing. And some desire to prove that that's changing because of the ecological actions of man. But really, it's the spiritual actions of man that are causing that weather to change, okay? It's the earth, again, receiving the judgment that is coming about because of our separation with God. So, don't want to get bogged down there. 22. I know, I'm pushing it now on time. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pangs of childbirth together until now. And not only this, we also ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, that waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. We have sin in our lives, and it causes us to regret. It causes us to recognize our own separation from God because of our own selfish actions in life and denial of the power of God the Holy Spirit in our life and not living God in the means of godliness through His power. It causes us pain to recognize that when God the Holy Spirit convicts us. And so we ourselves groan internally, and it makes us eagerly await for our adoptions as sons, that's the resurrection, and the redemption of our body, in the resurrection of our body and the restoration to perfection in our relationship with God through His Son. We groan in regret of our own sinfulness and look forward to the time that we will not sin anymore and be separated from God. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, right? This is why it isn't revealed right now. God the Father wants it to remain a confident expectation. He doesn't want us to see that we are that our faith is indeed promising us a resurrection body and eternal relationship in perfection with Him. He wants us to hope for it, to have that confident expectation of it. Why? Because that's an exercise of our faith in Him. Okay, He doesn't want us to see it and know it. He wants us to have faith in it and continue to have faith in it. Well, what's that going to do? It's 25 here, but if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we eagerly wait for it. God wants us to persevere in our faith. He wants us to stand fast, knowing that we trust Him to deliver us ultimately, just as He has delivered us temporally. We fail now and fail Him, and we groan because of it. But there's going to come a time in our eternal reward where we will not ever disappoint God again. We'll never have sin again to separate us from the love and relationship that the triune God wants to have with us full time right now. Okay. So, finally we hit 26, and in the same way, just as we groan internally, right? We're groaning internally because we're waiting confidently, keeping our faith, waiting for the fruition of the plan of God. And in the same way, the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We're going to concentrate a minute on this word helps here. Okay, God the Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. We see the God the Holy Spirit called the Paraclete, and that translated helper, but this isn't the same root as Paraclete, that noun Paraclete. This is a great big old three-part Greek word, okay? And the main verb is lambonomai, and that means to take something, to hold something, okay? And it's got two prefixes in front of it. Sun anti lambanomai. Sun means with or together. Okay? That's its main use as a prefix. Together with. Anti, you would say, anti. All right? We know that one in English, right? Well, it does have that meaning, primary, over, against, opposite to, or before. But it also means for, instead of, or in place of something. Instead of, for that, because, wherefore, for this cause. And whether it means one of those other things depends on how it's being picked up grammatically in that sentence in the Greek. Okay, and this is a compound verb, as we saw, a preposition or a particle being used in as a prefix on this word, and it's got two, soon, with, and anti, instead of, or on behalf of. Okay, and then we have lambanomai, which is called a verb in the middle voice. Okay. And in Greek, in English, we have active or passive, right? Either the subject performs the action, that's an active verb, or the subject receives the action. So, Bob drives a bus, that's an active verb. The bus is driven by Bob is a passive verb, right? Well, in Greek, they have another voice, and it's called the middle voice. And the beauty of the middle voice lies in the fact that the action of that verb is for the benefit of the subject that has performed it, okay? This is God the Holy Spirit is not helping us. We aren't receiving the action of help, okay? It's God the Holy Spirit helping us through his effort lay hold of something. Okay, it's not an active verb. It's not telling you that God is actively helping you along. It's saying that God the Holy Spirit is supplanting you. Okay, it's almost a complete takeover. You got no action left in this between soon with, anti in place of, and a middle voice in the verb. There isn't a whole lot of room left for a subject to do anything in this thing, okay? Yes, sir?
Is that like God superimposing his good judgment over our poor judgment?
I kind of guess you could say it that way. It takes your judgment to rely on God. The idea is God is doing it, not you.
Thank you.
Okay? All right? And so in the same way, just as we groan about it, God the Holy Spirit groans about it. And so he overcomes us in our weakness, in our inability to please God, to do that which God wants for us. And in this case, to even ask for the right thing in prayer. We don't even know what to pray for. We're got our eyes on the world. We're busy praying for a job or an income or a thing or a relationship on earth. We're so possessed with the things of this world. We don't even realize sometimes that we ought to be praying for the fruits of His Spirit. We ought to be praying for a deeper relationship with His Son in our lives. We ought to be praying for the glorification of Christ here on earth. Instead, God the Holy Spirit is going to do it for us. He's going to bring it about for us. And what's He praying for? That we will let Him do something in our lives. How magnificent is this, that we see God the Father is given us, is hearing the prayers from the Spirit His Son has given us, and His Spirit is making us pray for the glorification of Christ. How rich is the involvement of the Godhead on our behalf to glorify Him, to have a relationship with Him. All of this is the work of God 100%, and we're doing the same thing. We're having faith that God the Holy Spirit is alive in us and that His Son has redeemed us. And because of the redemption of that Son, we have a basis for a relationship with the Most High God. He holds us in His hand as children. We are redeemed and beloved, and we should live our lives for that glorification, for the glorification of that relationship. So, this concludes our look at the Trinity, and I hope that it is going to enrich your lives and help you understand how much God is in you and around you and wanting to be with you and have a full-time relationship with you, right? And that was the point of the whole study. And I'll close with one with a benediction from 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, the end of 2 Corinthians. Paul says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Let's bow in the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how gracious is your blessing. How rich is your love for us, that you would send your Son, that he would send your Spirit, that all three of you would be alive and active in our lives, looking to fulfill each and everything, giving us even the words to pray, Heavenly Father, that we might learn to glorify you and seek not this world, seek not to regret each and every day because we lived in sin and wanted things that you didn't need in our lives. Heavenly Father, we pray that your Spirit convicts us in these areas. Help us, Heavenly Father, that we might see the glory of your relationship with us through your Son, and that your Spirit would guide us in all that we do, that we might glorify your magnificent Son. For it's in his name that we pray, sir. Amen.